money lost from the state?
Well, I say, first of all, that businesses that aren't making money or people who are out of work can't pay taxes, and they're really our first concern. I say that we're going to do everything we can to maintain vital services, which other states have long ago begun to cut. We're not going to turn prisoners out of jail early here. We're not going to close state parks. If we can possibly avoid these things, we will. And most of all, I would tell them, we are not going to raise taxes at a time when you're stretched for money. You know, Indiana's unique as far as I know. Taxes are lower here now than a year ago. The average homeowner in Indiana got a $500 tax reduction. And that was at a very lucky time. We didn't know a huge recession was coming when we went out to lower property taxes. But again, we're going to do things we'd much rather not do in order to protect the Hoosiers against tax increases and keep the most vital services going.
Governor, now that the state has sort of taken over the operational costs of schools, what do these revenue forecasts and actual numbers and collections mean for schools and school funding in Indiana?
You know, I sought an opportunity to visit with superintendents and school boards 2 weeks ago, and we were able to set that up. And I told them, not knowing these numbers, I told them, be careful going forward. Indiana schools are the most fortunate in America. They got a state increase of 1.5 plus the extra federal money. It is not at all clear this can all be sustained going forward. It's half the budget. Public education, K-12, is half the budget. Higher ed's another 13 or so percent on top of that. And we can squeeze everything else, and we are, as hard as we can look in every corner for every nickel of savings, and it may not be enough if the money doesn't come in the door. So everyone may well have to participate, but no decisions for today.
On the methodology of the forecast, it sounds like there's some questions there. Is there anything specifically that you or OMB saw in the way they formulated that forecast? Was it a specific area or two, or is it just completely broad across the...
Well, I'm going to leave the method really to the experts. But clearly we saw that the December forecast was wildly off the mark. The April forecast seemed obviously off the mark. That's why we asked for yet another one and got one in May. And it was closer, but still, as you see, too rosy. My suspicion is a big part of the difference is that Americans, including Hoosiers, have shifted in their consumption patterns. We can all see this. Even those who are still at work have been moderating their spending. They're saving more and spending less. And I believe that is not a very temporary phenomenon. I think that's likely to continue. So what we've expected from the sales tax, our single biggest source, probably is overstated. That's the best example I can give you. Just your common sense tells you that probably needs adjustment. But there are probably many more factors that in here, and I defer to the experts. What we want from them, I don't want to tell them how to do it because I don't know. What we want from them is accuracy. So the legislature knows what they really have to work with.
Do you need different methodology, or do you need different people? Because it was right when the switch was made from Gary Baxter to Nigel Galt, that these wild misses started happening.
No, I assume that the group, that this independent group, has the right kind of people in it, and I leave that to others. All we're asking for is greater accuracy, and again, not casting blame here. The world changed in a big way. This was a deep, long recession. We're not out of it yet, and again, people's spending and saving patterns, fundamental changes like that have occurred. I think they're excellent professionals, but we better modernize that method to comport with what's, I think, a fundamentally different economy.
A lot of these agency heads are probably looking at their belt and worried it's about to break here. Yeah. And I'm wondering, at what point do these continued cuts start to impact state services? I mean, I imagine there's a fine line there. close to that point where we start seeing services?
Honestly, not yet. I mean, we measure everything. And performance levels are really quite good in almost every case. But we will have to continually assess our priorities, and those things, everything has some value that government's doing, but there are some things that are absolutely critical, those law enforcement and protecting children and so forth, things, and then there are some things that are really nice to do but are less important. We may have to suspend them for a little while. We may have to postpone a few things. Every family does this. Every business does this. No, I think up to this point, in this state, not everywhere else, but in this state, we have maintained vital services. I'm really proud of the job state employees are doing. We measure, and we can prove to ourselves and to you that they are doing an excellent job in most cases. Sometimes the pressure of limited resources can have a very positive effect. You do have to go ask yourself what is most important and what's less important. You do have to push for improvement to stretch every dollar. Now, this is an extreme case, and as I say, no announcements today, but I'll feel very fortunate if we don't have to make some unwelcome choices that really nobody is happy about making.